Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks, Randy. Questions coming in from so many different sources. Through our website, equip.org, through Twitter, through Facebook, even the mail. Questions are coming in through the mail. So there are a lot of ways in which we have an opportunity to answer people's questions, and that is a core value of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. And as many of you know, something I have been communicating for almost a month, this is the very last day of the month, I've been communicating the need for people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Reason being that this month is the end of our fiscal year. And many people have been gracious and have started standing with us, some who have never stood with us before. There are many who have joined CRI's support team that has really ratcheted up over the last couple of days. I call support team members the Green Berets, or the Special Forces of the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Without this special group of support team members hearing our broadcasts or our podcasts, simply would not happen. There are four basic categories that we're talking about in terms of support team members. First and foremost, as I was just mentioning, the CRI support team. This is a special team of people we simply could not exist without. And then there are donors. And oftentimes I ask people who are donors to consider going from being an occasional donor to being a support team member. And then there are those who make a gift occasionally. In other words, one gift a year. And I just think about the impact that would have in terms of reaching people around the world if one-time givers would give twice a year or three times a year. It would equate to hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue needed for vital ministry efforts. And then there are those who have listened for years, maybe some 20 years or longer, who have never supported the ministry. Oftentimes it is because they think there's plenty of support or there's a foundation that is supporting the ministry and therefore the ministry simply doesn't need support. Nothing could be farther from the truth. This ministry is a collective effort of not only staff and volunteers within the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, but beyond that, those who are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And as I am fond of saying, the difference you are making is not just a temporary difference, it is an eternal difference, a difference that not only counts for time, but a difference for all eternity as well. Let's take a few calls. First up is Venice, listening in Bakersfield, California. Hi, Venice.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
That's a blessing. I just want to say I thank you so much for your broadcast and continue prayers to you.
Thank you so much, Venice.
Or for you. Okay, my question is this. I have an associate who believes that the Church of Christ is the only church that will be saved and that members of any other church, such as Baptist Church, Lutheran Church, things like that, are doomed. And I just wanted to know your insight on that. And if I could, I'll just go ahead and disconnect and I'll listen to your answer.
Yeah, this is a part of the Church of Christ movement, and some of the more extreme factions within this movement actually go further and argue that anyone who views baptism differently from them as not a Christian is therefore lost, even if that person has been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The idea is you have to be baptized by their movement using their formula. And if you are not, you're not part of the body of Christ. And some of the more extreme factions include the Boston Church of Christ. That's probably the best known of these authoritarian groups. And this particular group goes so far as to say that other segments of the Church of Christ movement are non-Christian and will face eternal damnation. So even within the Church of Christ movement itself, this particular faction thinks it's the only faction that's on the right path to salvation. But I should mention, and I think I'm sort of alluding to that, this movement is not monolithic. It's multifaceted. And because of that, there are also factions within the Church of Christ movement that are thoroughly biblical. They have traditions like the tradition of not using musical instruments. I remember preaching for Max Lucado. And this is a wonderful church, wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord. But one of the distinctives in Max Lucado's church was they didn't have instruments. Now, for Max, that was not an acid test for orthodoxy. It was simply a tradition that they adhered to in his particular tradition. Obviously, he is not only a great preacher and writer, but I can tell you from personal experience, he's the absolute real deal as well. So again, the Church of Christ movement runs the gamut from cultism to Orthodox Christianity. I don't mean Orthodox with the big O, but Orthodoxy in the sense of upholding all the essentials of the historic Christian faith, as we often say, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. Let's go back to our phone callers. Talk to Leah in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Hank. I just want to say thank you so much for your program, and your wisdom is really a blessing from the Lord.
Oh, bless you. Thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm. My question is that when I read in the Word, it talks about Jesus being the descendant of Joseph, and I'm sort of confused about that because we know, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's conceived by the Holy Spirit, but I don't understand how they when the Word talks about that, I don't understand that connection.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, and I think you have to go back to how genealogies are used in general. If you look, for example, at the precedent set in Genesis, you find that there are 10 genealogies on one side of the flood and 10 genealogies on the other side of the flood. And that's a tip-off that this isn't about sequence, it's about symmetry. There's a purpose in the genealogical construction. The same thing is true if you go to, let's say, Matthew's genealogy. Of course, Matthew was a tax collector, and so he skillfully organized the genealogy of Jesus into three groups of 14, which just happens to be the numerical equivalent to the Hebrew letters in King David's name. So Matthew's genealogy simultaneously highlighted the most significant names in the lineage of Jesus, but more importantly, artistically emphasized our Lord's identity as Messiah who would forever sit upon the throne of David. My point here is that you don't want to read too much into the genealogies because there's a purpose behind the genealogies. In other words, the genealogies are chirological. They are communicating a purpose as opposed to, let's say, a chronology. That distinction has to be seen. So it may very well be that Matthew's purpose was to provide the legal lineage from Solomon through Joseph, whereas Luke has a different idea or purpose in mind, and that is to provide the natural lineage from Nathan through Mary. But it could also be that Matthew and Luke were both tracing Joseph's genealogy, Matthew the legal line and Luke the natural line. But you also have to remember, this is sort of the wild card, I suppose, to put it in secular vernacular, you have to remember what Romans is telling us about this specifically. The one thing we have to know for certain is that Mary is a descendant of David. And this is what Paul points out. It's Romans chapter 1, which explicitly tells us that Jesus descended from David according to the flesh. So if you want to know about this, as you've rightly pointed out in the prologue to your question, according to the flesh, then you have a biblical explanation. The other explanations are, again, more chirological than chronological. There's a purpose in giving them because Luke is tracing the genealogy of humanity all the way back to the first man, whereas Matthew's purpose is a little different. He's not going back to the first man, Adam, but he's actually going back in time to Abraham, the legal heir of David.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. We are coming to Station Break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you've benefited from the Bible Answer Man broadcast but have never made a show of support, there is no better time than today. We're just hours away from the end of our fiscal year, and it is essential that we end the year from a position of financial strength in order to ensure that the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, such as the Bible Answer Man broadcast, continue to reach the world with the essential teachings of the biblical Christian faith. We need your generous support. To join us in the battle for life and truth, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Equip.org. God bless you. Hank will be back after this. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. New atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.
A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And as always, just delighted to have this opportunity to answer your questions as we are getting closer and closer to the end of our fiscal year. We need people to step up to the plate and stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. For those who join the Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check that out on the web at equip.org, or you can also just pick up the phone and talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Andrew in Moore, Oklahoma. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my call, and I'll tell you, I appreciate everything that you're doing and love your show very much.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
My question is, well, I've been holding on to a large sum of money, and I'm not sure. It was for tithe, and I was kind of, I've been pulled to and fro on whether what tithing actually is, and my question was really, do you have to give your tithe to a church, or does it matter as long as it's going to God's kingdom? I'm not sure about that.
Well, I think the real thing that you want to do is recognize the importance of the tithe. In the Old Testament, Moses says, we tithe in order to reverence the Lord our God always. And as such, tithing is a universal principle. But that universal principle is actually given heightened clarity in the Bible with respect to stewardship, which is to say, stewardship is not just giving a tenth, but rather giving everything. And what that means, in essence, is that you hold everything with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit. Because your goal is not to simply fulfill some kind of legalistic prescription, but rather to extend his kingdom. So I think that the real purpose of tithing is to make an investment in the kingdom. So where do you make an investment in the kingdom? Well, you make it where the kingdom is most being impacted, extended into the lives of people around the world. So you make the wisest investment you can. That's what you would do if you were investing in a company. You would check the company out and you would make an investment in a company that's going to bring back a yield financially. Well, in ministry, you're looking for spiritual dividends, spiritual yield. So you want to invest in organizations, ministries, churches that are really making a difference for time and for eternity.
Okay, that makes sense. The main deal is because I've been holding on to money. I was thinking about giving it to the radio station, but I didn't know if that would be, if I could give that money or if that was need to be set back to give to a church. I just wasn't real sure.
Well, I think you want to give to those ministries, whether it's a church, whether it's a radio ministry, whether it's a relief organization, but those organizations that God has laid upon your heart. And I cannot give you an answer as to where, but I think that if you give with a grateful heart to an organization making a difference, that's a good investment in the kingdom.
All right, that makes a lot of sense. So thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for your call. And the Bible chronicles the prayer of David. He thanked God for the very privilege of being able to give to the work of the Lord. That prayer should be indelibly marked upon our hearts. He prayed, who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. And I think of a New Testament facsimile to that. You think about Lydia, who was converted as a result of the Macedonian call that Paul received in a vision. And as a result of her conversion, all kinds of other people were converted. And those people were the very people who supported Paul's ministry. And they gave not out of their abundance, but they gave out of their want because they trusted in the arm of God rather than the arm of flesh. And if you think about those people supporting the ministry of Paul and Timothy, you think those dividends are being paid to this very day because we today as a result of the ministry of Paul have two-thirds of the New Testament epistles that continue to exhort and equip and instruct us. So giving pays dividends in the lives of people. Only one life soon will be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Back to the phone lines. Mark next in North Carolina. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
As far as the creation in Genesis 1, is it literal or is it an allegory?
Well, it's not an allegory. It's a historical narrative. So what we have here in the beginning is God creates a real Adam and a real Eve. And we see that the very chapter that references the fall also then records the plan for restoration of fellowship. And that plan takes on definition with God's promise to make Abraham a great nation through which all peoples on earth will be blessed. And so Abram's call is the divine antidote to Adam's fall. This is not an allegory, nor should we allegorize the text. We should read the text in the sense in which it is intended. If Adam did not fall into a life of perpetual sin terminated by death, there's no need for redemption. So if we allegorize the first Adam, there's no need for the second Adam.
Okay. Let me have a follow-up. Then the fall, Genesis 1 through 10, can we look at, for example, the fall and death due to sin, and then the Genesis flood? Can we look upon them as literal as well, helping to explain a number of other things?
Well, absolutely. There was a real fall. There was a real temptation. There was a first man and a first woman. Jesus, in fact, develops his theology on marriage based on the first man and first woman. So you have to take that as a historical narrative. But the fact that it is a historical narrative does not mean that there isn't metaphor used or figures of speech used. Obviously, there is. When God says to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" doesn't mean that God doesn't know all things. It is a way of speaking. It is a divine condescension to our human limitations. When God says he walks with Adam and Eve, as it were, in the cool of the day, it doesn't mean that God has big feet. It is a way of communicating that God had fellowship with Adam and Eve. So we have to, if we take the Bible literally, we have to read it as literature, recognizing that all of literature is impregnated with metaphor. And the essence of metaphor is understanding one thing in terms of another. So if you think about the fall of Adam and Eve, that in itself is an orientational metaphor. Or falling asleep is an orientational metaphor. Or raised in baptism, or Christ raised from the dead. Now, that does not mean that Christ wasn't actually raised from the dead, but being raised from the dead, the metaphor communicates something. It communicates something with sharp teeth. It means that we too will rise. It doesn't mean that we're going to float. It means that our bodies that die are going to be restored in resurrection. But we use orientational metaphors all the time. We might say, "I'm feeling up," or "I'm feeling down," or "I'm feeling low," or "I'm falling into the abyss of despair." These are metaphors. Doesn't mean that you're not really despairing. Doesn't mean that you're not really feeling low. It is a way of communicating, so you have to take literature in the sense in which it's intended. And if you don't, what you end up with is nonsense.
Yeah, and so literally, if man has been around, we can infer at least thousands, not millions of years in relationship to his creation and the fall, death came on. And so if death and suffering came on millions of years ago, as the evolutionary theory would say, as a part of basically their proposed creation, then our doctrine would make sense, would it not?
They don't have any proposed creation. I mean, the evolutionary system posits that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produced morals. I mean, this is untenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. But you're right to say that humanity has been around millions of years, simply does not correspond to reality. You can use the term thousands, but you can't use the term millions. Now, having said that, how old the universe is a function of understanding God's general revelation, because the Bible does not give us a chronology of creation. It does give us a hierarchy of creation, culminating in the crowning jewel of God's creation, humankind. We are almost out of time for the entire month. It's the end of our fiscal year. I urge those listening in who have never taken the step to support this ministry to do so, not because we have wonderful resources available for you when you support the ministry, but simply because you want to be a change agent. You want to be an initiator, not a cultural imitator. So please stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We pray that your resources will be transformed into changed lives for all eternity. And so at the end of the month, it would be only right that I thank those that are already standing with us, shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for allowing the Christian Research Institute to do what the Christian Research Institute does around the world. So long for now. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Today is the last day of our fiscal year-end campaign, so please call now, 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.